మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం శ్రుతి స్మృతి పురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోక శంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్ర భాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం
ధీనేశస్య
విధీయతామపచితిః కామ్యేమతిస్త్యజ్యతాం పాపౌఘః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే దోషోనుసంధీయతాం ఆత్మేచ్ఛా వ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్ వినిర్గమ్యతాం సంగస్సత్సు విధీయతాం భగవతో భక్తిర్దృఢాధీయతాం శాంత్యాదిః పరిచీయతాం దృఢతరం కర్మాషు సంత్యజ్యతాం సద్విద్వానుపసృప్యతాం ప్రతిదినం తత్పాదుకా సేవ్యతాం బ్రహ్మైకాక్షరమర్త్యతాం శ్రుతిశిరో వాక్యం సమాకర్ణ్యతాం.
సో వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ ది ఫస్ట్ లైన్ ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ శ్లోక. ఫస్ట్ ఇట్ వాస్ సెడ్ సంఘః తత్సు విధీయతాం. లెట్ ది కంపెనీ విత్ noble people, right people, be entertained. Let there be company with noble people, spiritual people, the people who have value for spirituality. Then the next one is bhagavatah bhaktih drudha adhiyata. Let intense devotion to the Lord be cultivated, or let the devotion for the Lord be made intense, stronger. Both ways it can be said. If devotion is there, let it become stronger. If it is not there, let it be cultivated. And in that connection we were seeing what is the meaning of the word bhakti. The first meaning we saw, bhakti means love. Sātu asmin parama prema swarūpa. In Nārada Bhakti Sutra it is there. What is bhakti? Love, intense love for the Lord is bhakti. And we had added one or two more elements, and that is love to the higher principle, and therefore love and respect. And one more dimension we had added to make the bhakti attitude complete, and that is sharanagati, surrendering. So love, respect and surrender. All these three constitute bhakti for Ishvara. So bhakti is a mental state characterized by these three things. When we talk about bhakti in the context of Ishvara bhakti, devotion to the Lord, then these are the three elements, three characteristics of the mental state called bhakti. Love, respect and surrender. Love, I think everybody knows. Whatever you know, that is love. To explain about love is like an insult to you, because you know, something you know. We keep on saying, nowadays it's very common, I love you, you know. It's fashionable to say, I love you, I love you. In our time, I love you was very rarely used. We'll be scared to use. We are the old generation. But now it is very common. So all of you know, because you have been using this word. I don't think anybody sitting here who has never used the word, never used the sentence, I love you. Is there anybody here? I love you. Is anybody here? No. I love you. Whether you loved or not is a different thing. But I guess you must have said, I love you. I love it. So all of you know. Love means, I will give another word, affection, interest and liking. These are called love. Or once Swami gave the definition, my attitude towards the source of happiness is love. So whatever you understand, love. The second is respect. Because I am respecting the Lord, I have so much the feeling of awe towards Bhagavan. Awesome. Bhagavan is awesome for me. Oh, this is what Bhagavan is. So much reverence is there. Because he is so great. And more I am relating to him, I am discovering this surrender in me. This surrender element comes little later. Initially, some liking, which we call love. And seeing or knowing his greatness, respect. And as you grow in your bhakti, devotion, then this element of surrender also comes. So this love, respect and surrendering, together we can call bhakti as an attitude. A mental state, a mental frame, that is bhakti. How do we develop this? This is a genuine question. For some people, in Swamiji, I don't get bhakti. My heart is like a stone, Swamiji. I don't get it. I don't have any emotion for anybody. That's what many people think. I have never seen such a really a stone-hearted person. I have seen people telling that they are stone-hearted, but when I inquire, I find out that he or she has so much emotion towards certain people or certain area which they have not acknowledged. Being a human being, you will have emotions. That will be there. So now the question is, how to develop devotion for Bhagavan? In Shastra, they talk about, especially in Purana, they say, you listen to the glory of Ishvara. At least first of all, you have, first requirement is that you have some belief in existence of God. You cannot have love for someone whose existence itself is doubted by you. Whose existence itself is doubtful, then you cannot have love. If you have doubt in the very existence of Ishvara, then you have to find out, you have to be exposed to some information, some knowledge about Ishvara, which will convince you that there is something called Ishvara. Generally, we introduce Ishvara as the creator of this world. There is some principle who has created this world, let us call him God. And that which is infallible, which is there in the form of order in this world and is infallible order, that is Ishvara. And more you understand the glory of this Ishvara which is in the form of order, then you will have love and respect. Because the emotion of love and respect follow the appreciation of glory, appreciation of something good. And you understand that Ishvara is the source of my happiness, source of my security. My security finally will come from my association with Ishvara. This will help you develop devotion for Ishvara. And of course, you require some punyam. That is the requirement. Some punyam has to be there. And it will be fructified in the form of this type of thinking. And another thing can help you develop devotion is the association of devotees. Their devotion will get rubbed off on you. You will get this. You remain in the contact of devotees whom you look up to, with whom you would like to be. Then company of such devotees also helps us to develop devotion. And as I told, the first requirement is that there is faith or belief in the existence of Ishvara. To begin with, belief. We call paroksha jnana, technically. Some jnana we have. Not full clarity, but some jnana is there. Afterwards, you have to know Ishvara. But to begin with, you have some shraddha, either in the people who are talking about Ishvara or Sastra. And then, if you believe in Ishvara to begin with, then to that Lord whom you believe in, you pray, O Lord, help me discover devotion for you. From Lord itself you ask for devotion. I want to love you. Please help me love you. Bhagavan also will be happy. Isn't it? Somebody says, you say, I want to love you, please help me. It's a nice request. Of course, it suggests something else also. It suggests that I have some problem with you, but I want to love you. But Bhagavan wants mine. Ishvara, get ready. This is how you start. And afterwards, as we are going to see the second interpretation of the devotion, then devotional activities will help you to strengthen your devotion. So devotion means love, respect, surrender. This attitude, this particular mental frame towards Ishvara is bhakti. Now, in this bhakti, there is some evolution. Initially, we look upon Ishvara as the means for achieving some worldly ends. This is how generally we start our devotion. In childhood, this is how we started. When exams are nearing, the people will be going to the temple. In fact, in the temple there will be a bigger crowd during the exam time. So, we look upon Ishvara as the means to achieve something worldly, something in the world, artha or kama. Some source of security I want, or some sense pleasure I want,
astray. Oh Lord, I want this ticket for football match. Please help me. Start. This is how we start. Oh Lord, I am in deep trouble now. Please help me. From all sides I am cornered. Please help me. Help me to get out of this trouble. So Bhagavan is looked upon as the means for some worldly achievement, artha or kama. Either to get rid of some trouble or to achieve some artha or kama. Both ways it can be. I am in trouble and therefore I am praying to get rid of this trouble. So my interest is in getting rid of the trouble, not Bhagavan. To begin with, Bhagavan is a means for me. And this type of bhaktas who are using the Lord as the means, they can be artha bhakta or artharthi bhakta. In 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan talks about various types of devotees, and two of them are artha bhakta, artharthi bhakta. Artha bhakti means devotion for the Lord to get out of some trouble. Bhakta in distress is called artha bhakta. Bhakti in distress is called artha bhakti. And generally we give the example of Draupadi for artha bhakti. If you have some exposure to Mahabharata, Draupadi was in big trouble in the court of Kauravas. She was being disrobed by one of the Kauravas. And that time, she asked for help. Hey Krishna. So, this type of devotion, oh Lord, please help me. Or in Sastra, another example is there, Gajendra Moksha. One elephant was in big trouble because caught by crocodile. And that time he prays, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopala, Abhuto Jivan Hare, I am just getting finished, please help. So this is artha bhakti. In our life also it must have happened. We were in big trouble. Oh Lord, please help me, please help me. So this type of pleading bhaktas, therefore artha bhakta. And another one is artharthi, in that only. Artharthi means one who does not have trouble right now, but they are starting some project for artha or kama, and they know that there can be any number of obstacles, and therefore they want to have anticipatory bail. Oh Lord, in the beginning itself I am telling, if any trouble comes, please help. So in the beginning itself, they pray to Bhagavan, oh Lord, let this project be successfully completed. This is called artharthi bhakta. Both types of bhaktas, artha bhakta, artharthi means, arthi means desires, desirous of artha. Artha means here, this security. Worldly objects. That's called artha here. So whether it is artha bhakta or artharthi bhakta, both of them are looking upon the Lord as a means for achieving some worldly things. Artha or kama. So for him or her, Bhagavan is the means, not the end. Like one fellow, he went to some place and he wanted to go to some building, and nearby there was a parking slot, but parking was not available. Slot was parking place, but parking slot was not available. So he prayed, oh Lord, if you get me this parking slot now, then I will come to church every Sunday, or I will come to the temple every Saturday. Let us convert it. Then, within 1 minute, he saw somebody was vacating this parking slot. Then he told Bhagavan, I don't need your help now, I already got it. Thank you, I don't want it, I already got it. So for Bhagavan is the means. If I get what I want, I don't care for Bhagavan. Suppose you are going to the temple to make a prayer to get rid of some trouble, and on the way you get somebody. Where are you going? He said, I am going to the temple, I have to pray to Bhagavan, and because I am in big trouble. So what is the trouble? Oh, this is the trouble. I can get rid of this. Then you don't go to the temple. You go to that person's house. That becomes your temple. So here, a person, a devotee is looking upon the Lord as the means, not the end. So he or she has bhakti, but his bhakti will be mild bhakti. Because you are looking upon the Lord as a means. Nothing wrong in it, okay? Nothing wrong. Which is Swamiji says that if somebody tells you that you should not ask for money to God, if somebody advises you, you should not ask for money, you should not ask Bhagavan for money, then what should you tell that person? You give me money. you ask me not to ask to Bhagavan, you give me money. So we did not have any compunction, we did not have any reluctance in asking for help to Ishvara. Nothing wrong. That is how we begin with. Our bhakti pursuit begins like this. Artha, arthati, nothing wrong. We should not feel bad, we need not feel bad, and we need not criticize others. Because after studying Vedanta, you know, he said, these people are so primitive. They are asking for small things to Bhagavan. Which is Swamiji says, for Bhagavan, everything is a small thing only. Everything is small. You think you ask for one kingdom, for Bhagavan it is a small thing only. So we need not be apologetic, we need not feel bad, or we need not be ashamed for asking for small. Nothing wrong. But we must know that we are looking upon Bhagavan as the means. Then, when we evolve further in our devotion, then we start looking upon Bhagavan himself as the end. Earlier, Bhagavan was the means and the world was the end. Worldly things were the end, the goal. Now, Bhagavan himself is the end. Bhagavan himself is the goal. And the world can become the means. The worldly things can become the means to pursue the Lord. Thus, I look upon the Lord as sadhyam. If I use the terminology, earlier I was looking upon the Lord as sadhanam. Now I look upon the Lord as sadhyam. The very end. Bhagavan himself is the end for me. He is the goal. He is the destination, as it were. This is evolution. Because earlier I was looking upon him as the means, now I am looking upon him as the end. And your love for the end is always greater than your love for the means. Isn't it? If you want to go to Coimbatore, then you use some means. But moment you reach Coimbatore, you drop that means. Suppose you are using the bus, then you drop that bus. Of course, if your own car, you love the car, then you keep it. Because you want to go back also. That also is your end. Therefore you keep it. But you have love for the end more than you have love for the means. It's always like this. Your love for the end will be more than your love for the means. So when you are looking upon the Lord as the end, he is my sadhya. then your love for Ishvara is much more than when you were looking upon the Lord as a means. And one who is looking upon the Lord as a means, he is presented as Jignasu Bhaktaha in Bhagavad Gita. Because he will understand that attainment of Bhagavan cannot be physical. Attaining Bhagavan means knowing Bhagavan. And I want to know Bhagavan. And therefore, from Artha and Artharthi, I am graduating into this Jignasu Bhakta. I am graduated to Jignasu Bhakta. Thus, there is evolution. My love, respect, surrender increases when I start looking upon the Lord as the very end, sadhya. This is the first interpretation of the word bhakti, where bhakti is a particular type of attitude, a particular mental frame with reference to Ishvara. Now, another way of looking at this word bhakti, and that is any activity which is invoking or strengthening a devotee in me. The activity which is invoking and or strengthening a devotee in me is also called bhakti. In other words, an act of devotion is also called bhakti. Earlier the attitude was interpreted as bhakti, now an act of devotion. And what is an act of devotion? It can be an expression of my devotion, or it can be an action which is helping me to discover a devotee in me, to strengthen a devotee in me. And these type of activities are also called bhakti. And these activities are of three types: kayika, vachika, manasika. We call them kayika bhakti, vachika bhakti, manasika bhakti. So kayika means physical activity in the form of puja, worshipping the Lord, serving the temple, going for Tirtha Yatra with a pilgrimage. All of them are kayika bhakti, where my physical body is involved predominantly. Then the second one is called vachika bhakti, where my organ of speech is predominantly involved, which is called vachika, in English we call oral, done with the organ of speech. Like what? Chanting the sutras, chanting the suktas, chanting the sutras, even chanting this Bhagavan Nama, like we do Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we do it loudly. It is called vachika bhakti. It is called nama sankirtanam. We are singing the glory with the help of the names of the Lord, by the reputation of the Lord. Nama sankirtanam. Or we chant some sutra, Vishnu sahasra nama, Lalita sahasra nama, Dakshinamurti sutra, or sutra we chant. Or we chant Bhagavan nama loudly. That is called vachika. And the third one is called manasa bhakti, or manasa karma, which is in the form of devotion. So kayika karma, vachika karma, manasa karma, which are helping me to invoke a devotee, strengthen a devotee in me, all three of them are called bhakti. And manasa karma is in the form of dhyanam, meditation. in the form of manasa japa. That also is a manasa karma, which is invoking a devotee in me. And this manasa karma, which is called dhyanam, is otherwise called upasana. Upasana. So, upasana, dhyanam, these are the words for the manasa karma. If you remember earlier, we have seen the definition of dhyanam. Dhyanam is Ishvara Vishayaka Manasa Vyapara. Ishvara Vishayaka Manasa Vyapara. Manasa Vyapara means mental activity. But mental activity can be in the form of worries also. Now we are worrying this mental only. It's not oral or physical. Mental. Therefore it is specified. What? Ishvara Vishayaka. That which is centered on Ishvara. So Vishayaka means centered on Ishvara, the Lord. So Dhyana means Ishvara Vishayaka Manasa Vyaparaha. The mental activity centered on Ishvara, the Lord, is called Dhyana. And in a way, Manasa Japa itself can be called Dhyana. We need not separate. Since we are telling you the Japa and the Manasa Japa are separate, otherwise Manasa Japa also is one type of Dhyana. Why? Because it is centered on Ishvara and it is mental. Therefore, it is Dhyana. And there are various types of Dhyanam or Upasana talked about in our Shastras. We can divide them into two types. One is called Vedika Upasana and another one is called Smartha Upasana. Vedika Upasanas are those which are prescribed in Vedas. There are some Upasanas which are prescribed in Vedas. Like we have got Vyaruti Upasana, Omkar Upasana, Panka Brahma Upasana. You will study in Taittiriya Upanishad. So we have got certain upasanas which are not so many, so many upasanas in Veda. They are called Vedic upasanas. In Chandogya Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, so many upasanas, Shandilya Vidya. And upasana is sometimes called Vidya also. Shandilya Vidya. So we have got so many upasanas described in Vedas. They are called Vedika Upasanas. And another one is Smartha Upasana, mainly described in Puranas. Like what? Rupa Dhyanam. One type of Upasana where we meditate upon the form, a particular form of the Lord. Starting from the feet of the Lord, or even the nail of the Lord, the nail of the toes of the Lord, and go up to the Kesha. Anaka Keshanta. We minutely first see with our eyes the form of the Lord several times, and afterwards with closed eyes, we try to bring that particular form in our mind. And minutely we observe. The nail of the Lord, toes, this foot, ankle, calf muscle, knee. Very minutely we try to observe. It's not that easy, you require a lot of practice. If you close your eyes, nothing happens. Nothing is good. So first, you have to look at the Lord. Very intensely, very intently. And then close your eyes, try to visualize that form. and you take any number of rounds from the bottom to top, top to bottom, and you can spend hours together. This is called Rupa Dhyana, where you meditate on the form, a particular form of the Lord. This also is a bhakti, but it requires more concentration, more commitment. Second dhyanam, which is talked about, is guna dhyanam or vibhuti dhyanam, where we meditate upon various qualities of Ishvara. Is Karuna Sagaraha, is Sarvajnaha, is Sarvashaktivan, means he is all-knowing, he is omnipotent, and he is just, he is ocean of compassion, and various actions, various activities Bhagavan had done when he had taken avatara. We meditate on that. That is also is one type of dhyana. Bhagavat vibhuti dhyanam, Bhagavat lila dhyanam, Bhagavat guna dhyanam. Guna means quality. Lila means sports really, but activities. Vibhuti means glories. So all those things also can be meditated upon. One more form of dhyanam is manasa puja. First we have done this puja physically using various upachara. I forgot to talk about that, and already we have seen panchopachara is there, gandha, pushpa, rupa, deepa, naivedyam, or shodashopachara, a big list is there, 16 upacharas. Upachara means steps. So 16 steps we have seen, we ourselves have done sometime, or we have seen the priest doing, and those steps we do mentally. In fact, we have some stotras, collection of verses, which can help us to do this manasa puja. Shiva manasa puja, that is a stotra. Ratte kalpitamasanam himajale sthanam chasityamaro. So we visualize the form of the Lord, and we visualize that we are doing each step of puja. We are performing the puja using each step. That is called manasa puja. This is one more form of dhyana. And another form of dhyana which is talked about in Puranas, and also is in some way in Vedas, and that is Vishwarupa dhyana. Vishwarupa dhyana means meditation on the cosmic form of the Lord, where we meditate upon Ishvara having the cosmic body, where the earth is, in fact we have shlokas for that. Bhupado Vyasyana Virvira Suranilash Chandra Charitre. So we look upon the very earth as the feet of the Lord, and this the Vayu as the prana of the Lord, Surya, the sun and moon and the eyes. So this is Vishwarupa dhyana, where everything is looked upon as the body of Ishvara. This is also one type of dhyana. Then you may ask somebody, what type of dhyana we are doing in the morning meditation? Some of you might have this question. We are having combination of two, three of them. We are appreciating Ishvara as the order, which is the manifestation of Ishvara, which is the vibhuti of Ishvara. So guna dhyanam it is. And also we are doing manasa japa. So manasa japa rupa jnanam also we are doing. And we are appreciating that Ishvara is everything. We are Ishvaraizing everything. And therefore, in a way, it is Vishvarupa Dhyanam as well. So it is a combination of two, three forms of dhyana. So this is called Manasa Karma, which is a devotional act, the act of devotion. And this type of activity, whether it is kayika, vachika or manasa, will help us to invoke a devotee in us. And if devotee is already there, but if it is spasmodic, means once in a while devotee, it will become long-lasting or everlasting devotee. Means devotee, permanent devotee to us. Now what happens? We have some bout of devotion. Morning, sometimes 5-10 minutes, we get some emotion of devotion. But afterwards it's over. When we go to the temple, that time only. So now we do it more repeatedly. This kayika, vachika, manasa, physical, oral and mental activities as frequently as possible. Then these activities will strengthen a devotee in us. So it is a conversion program. These activities are conversion program. What type of conversion? These activities are making non-devotee into a devotee and a mild devotee or spasmodic devotee to a permanent devotee. And what is the meaning of permanent devotee? Permanent devotee is the one who is having the identity of being a devotee all the time. Even when he or she is playing the role of a father or mother, husband or wife, son or daughter, but he is devotee first. So he is a devotee father. She is a devotee mother. Remaining as a devotee, I am playing the role of a father or mother. So my basic identity as a devotee doesn't go away. Remaining as a devotee, I play various roles. That is called being a permanent devotee. Like a businessman, when he is in the business, whatever he does, the businessman personality remains in the background. He talks to people, he doesn't talk to people. He buys or sells. Whatever he does, businessman in him continues to be. Similarly, I remain as a devotee, and remaining as a devotee, I play various roles. So devotee becomes a father or mother. Devotee plays the role of a father or mother. And then what will happen? My reaction will be much less because my connection to God is always maintained. And therefore prasad buddhi is very easy. Because I am playing the role of a devotee. My role of a devotee is there in the background all the time. And these activities which we talked about are helping us to strengthen the devotee personality in us, devotee role in us. And that is why this act of devotion or devotional activities are also karma. This bhakti is defined in Sanskrit, it is a very beautiful definition. Bhajyate bhagavadakala vrittihi kriyate anaya kriya sa bhakti. So bhakti is that activity which helps us to have the thought which is centered on Ishvara. And in simple words we are telling, the activity which is helping us to discover a devotee in us is. So, second meaning of bhakti is devotional activity. which will help us to invoke and strengthen the devotee in us. And this particular aspect is very important, because if devotion is there in our heart, then we can handle any crisis. Because we remain connected to Ishvara. One definition of devotion is what? Connection to Ishvara. Relating to Ishvara is devotion. I remain connected to Ishvara. When you remain connected to Ishvara, then you can handle anything. Thus, bhakti hi dhra. From bhakti we cultivate. And this bhakti is presented in Bhagavata in a beautiful shloka, where both definitions are covered. The first definition of bhakti is what? Attitude. A particular frame of mind towards the Lord. First. Second is what? Devotional activities. Both of them are covered in a beautiful shloka which is very popular among the bhaktas. What is that? Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho, smaranam padasevanam, vandanam archanam dasyam, sakhyamatmanivedanam. This is called Navadha Bhakti. Ninefold Bhakti is talked about. Very popular. You know, in this particular shloka, who is uttering this shloka in Bhagavata? Prahlada. Very beautiful story is there. You might have heard the name of a great devotee, Prahlada. Since early childhood, he had the devotion for Ishvara. And his father was a demon, Rakshasa, Hiranyakashipu. He did not believe in God. In fact, he was enemy of Vishnu. And he had banned this devotional activities in his kingdom. But wonderful thing happened in his own house. His son was worshipping Vishnu. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu thought that I should train my son under the teachers who are highly materialistic, so that the child will forget Vishnu. So he sent his son to two teachers. In Bhagavad Gita, names are also given. I don't remember, Maraka or something like that. And after a few months, Hiranyakashipu, he loved Prahlada so much because he was such a wonderful child. So he takes this Prahlada on his lap and asks him, what is the best thing you have learnt in your school? What is the best thing you have learnt so far? Not school. What is the best thing you have learnt so far? So he thought he will say this politics, that politics, this army and all this. He thought, instead of saying all this, he said, this is the thing I have learned. Then he tells the shloka. Prahlada says, Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho, svaranam padasevanam, vandanam archanam dasyam, sakhyam atmanivedam. This is the best thing. Where he had learned all this? Because in that atmosphere he did not have any chance to learn, because there was no devotional activity around. But there Purana, the story comes that when he was in his mother's womb, that time his mother was in the Narada's ashrama. Because of certain situation, he was in Narada's ashrama. In fact, she was being killed. At that time, Narada saved her. His mother was saved by Narada. And she stayed in Narada's ashrama. And then Narada used to do satsanga, and such many stories and all, so he used to listen in the womb itself. And that is why he had samskara, strong samskaras. And then he tells this, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, where nine steps or nine types of devotion or the forms of devotion are present. The first one is what? Shravanam Vishnoho. Shravanam means listening to the glories and the stories of the Lord. Here Vishnu stands for the Lord, any form of the Lord. Shravanam Vishnoho, listening to the stories. It happens when you listen to about somebody for some time and all positive things, then naturally you will feel good about that person. You will have inclination, you would like to meet that person. Oh, he's such a wonderful, so great. That's how people bring, no? Devotees bring other devotees to puja Swami. How? Because they say our Swami is like this, our Swami is like this. Oh, acha, he's like that. So much compassionate, so learned. Acha, so, Shravanam is one way of invoking devotion. Shravanam Vishnoho Bhagavataha. Then second is Kirtanam. Singing the glory of the Lord. If some people are singing, you join. They are singing Hare Rama, you join them. Or they are chanting the glory of the Lord in the form of Sotra, you join them. Like Vishnu Sahasranama is going on, you join them. That is called Kirtan. Singing the glory of the Lord is called Kirtan. Shravana means listening to the glories of the Lord. Then Kirtanam. Then Smaranam. Keep remembering the Lord. That also is one form of bhakti. Keep remembering. Some people have the habit, whenever they get free time, immediately they start a japa. Whenever they get time, like in our computer, you know, when screen saver, after a few minutes, the screen saver will come automatically. And he has kept very little time. So immediately it comes. In our case, we have 10-15 minutes or something. You can set it, no? So we set it in our mind. Screen saver is Bhagavan Nama. And moment our interaction with the world stops, immediately. You might see Pooja Swamiji also, he keeps chanting. Pranava, etc., he keeps chanting. Naturally, it happens. So, Smaranam. If you don't do Bhagavat Smaranam, something else you will be remembering, which will make you more extrovert. Therefore, Bhagavat Smaranam. Pada Sevanam means resorting to or serving the feet of the Lord. Whenever you get a chance, touch the feet of the Lord, the form of the Lord, picture is there or vigra is there, touch the feet. Wash the feet and take charanamrutam. For some people it will be very odd things, all these things, so what is this? Yeah, because we are highly educated people, no? Therefore we have difficulty. But for the bhaktas it is very natural, pada seva. And once you enjoy that, then you will not find anything odd. It's very natural. Pada sevanam. Then vandanam. Vandanam means salutation. So we keep doing namaskara. Whenever we get the opportunity to do namaskara, we do namaskara. In fact, when we get up, and if we have at some altar, we go there and do namaskara. First thing, after chanting our Pratasparam, etc., before going for bath, we can do namaskara. We don't enter into the puja room, outside the puja room, or out, means remaining at some distance, we do namaskara. Vandanam, as many times as possible. Because we want to develop, we need to strengthen the devotee in us. Vandanam. Then archanam, doing puja. Panchopachara puja, Shodashopachara puja, whatever way we can worship. Have some altars, have some picture, offer some flowers, or whatever. Offer some this agarbatti, the incense sticks, whatever way. Some type of puja is very useful. Very useful. If we are not doing in the room, we can go to the temple and identify with the priest who is doing puja. Put our mind to the act of puja. This is being done there. Archanam. The next one is dasyam, servitorship. I look upon myself as the servant of Ishvara. And therefore, doing the seva in the temple, we need not feel, oh, I am so PhD and I am engineer, doctor and all this. Bhagavad seva. So, cleaning the temple, whatever way we can offer our seva, dasyam. Like how a servant will be cleaning the house of the master, similarly we clean the temple. We do whatever way we can serve the Lord. Dasyam. Another form of bhakti is sakhyam. Sakhyam is friendship. The idea conveyed by this sakhyam is that we need not have fear of God. Even though we have attitude of serving the Lord, but we need not have fear of God. In India there is an expression, oh, he is a God fearing person. In Alliance they say, they are God fearing people. I don't know, in the West it is there, God fearing people, is that? We need not be God fearing people, God loving people, as somebody said. I love God. I don't fear God. I'm not afraid of God. Why should I be afraid of God? So, Sakhyam, he is my friend. Look upon the Lord as your friend. You can have the most intimate relationship. He is my friend. You can say, hi God. You can say to God again. Whatever way you can express your friendship, you can. This is one more form of bhakti. And the last one is Atma Nivedanam. Offering oneself. Atma means self, oneself. Nivedanam means offering. Offering oneself. That is why we do Sashtang Namaskara. Means, I am completely offering myself. In Hindi they say, Tana, Mana, Dhana, Sab Tera Hai. Tana means body. Mana means mind. Dhana means wealth. Whatever I was calling so far, my body, my wealth, my mind, oh Lord, I am now offering all of them to you. Which is sorry that the people do say this. Dhana, mana, dhana, sab tera hai. But next day again the same thing. Nothing wrong in it. But at least we should mean it. I really believe they belong to Ishvara. And how do we know that we have imbibed this particular attitude of Atma Nivedanam? How do we know that we have surrendered everything to Bhagavan? When we are losing something, suppose we lost the money, what is our attitude? Especially when we know that it has been lost because some natural forces or whatever forces. If I have already given it to Ishvara, where is the question of regretting about it? Or somebody, some person in my life I lose, my near and dear one. I have already told that everything, oh Lord, I have surrendered. My relatives, everything I have surrendered. Means everything belongs to you. And now you have taken it away. It is your wish. Suppose somebody has kept his car in your house because he doesn't have parking place. And he parked. And now he takes to take his car. He comes to take his car. Will you feel bad about it? Right? Because it is his car only. Similarly, if you have given everything to Bhagavan and Bhagavan takes something away, if I have really given it to Bhagavan, I will not feel bad. I feel bad because I was simply telling Dhan Man Dhan Tera. But still, even though you have not imbibed fully, still keep doing it. Because if you keep doing, one day it will become real. You did not lose heart. Oh, Swamiji, I have been telling, but when I lost, I felt so bad. Doesn't matter. Just keep doing. Put your heart little more. So this is Atmanivedana. These are called Navadha Bhakti. Nine forms of expressing your devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Pada Sevanam Vandanam Archanam Dasyam Satyam Atmanivedanam. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.